Hi, I'm Sarah Nelson, a bereaved parent and a board member with GPS Hope. I'm excited that the Grieving Parent Sharing Hope podcast, hosted by Laura and Dave Deal, has once again been honored by the American Writing Awards. The past 2 years, the podcast received the recognition in the spiritual category, and this year it has been named Podcast of the Year in the health category, reflecting the powerful impact it continues to have in the lives of grieving parents. Laura and Dave created this podcast to walk alongside parents who have experienced the death of a child, offering encouragement, faith, and practical help for the grief journey. From all of us at GPS Hope, and from the many parents whose lives have been touched by this podcast, congratulations, Laura and Dave, and thank you for continuing to bring comfort and hope to grieving parents.
Hello, you are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. As always, thank you for joining me. Today, you're going to hear from someone that I consider a new friend. Jody was very raw and real about some things, which I loved. Plus, the conversation was very rich with nuggets of truthful hope and encouragement. But before I share our chat, let me give her a proper introduction. Jody Hudson is a faith-filled mother, author, and speaker who shares hope from the depths of loss. After walking alongside her daughter, Alex, through years of medical uncertainty, which was correctly diagnosed as Lyme disease in 2017, Jody now speaks honestly about grief, identity, and choosing how we show up after life-altering loss. She's the author of My Promise to Alex, an award-winning memoir woven with themes of faith, resilience, and a mother's enduring love. Jody encourages grieving parents to trust God, move forward with purpose, and remember that grief may shape us, but it does not define us. So with that, here is my talk with Jody Hudson. Well, hi, Jody. Welcome to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. I'm just thrilled to be here as well.
Yeah, I am looking forward to this. So I would really love to begin by having you tell us about Alex. What is her story?
So my daughter passed away March of 2018 at 22 years old. And her story is it was a medical mystery. For 10 years, she went undiagnosed. Doctors thought that it was growing pains. It was combination of other things from her sports. She was always very involved in her sports since she was about 5 or 6 years old. And it wasn't until 2017, after the 40th doctor, that within the first 5 minutes, asked Alex and myself, have you ever been tested for Lyme disease? And in 2017, I remember asking a very ignorant question, and I said, well, what is Lyme disease? No. And now fast forward to, 2026, and I know so much more, obviously, because of the journey that we went through with Alex, and there's been so much more talked about it in mainstream news. But really, that is, Alex's story, and it's just a story of so many other people that have illnesses that doctors just don't know how to categorize it, how to diagnose it, and what do you do when you're, stuck in that situation, and especially for as long as Alex was for, 10 plus years.
Wow. So it was the actual Lyme disease that ended her life?
So Lyme disease is a bacterial infection. When you get Lyme disease, it's from a tick, and bacterial infection that left untreated can impact every part of your body, every organ. So Alex in fifth grade started, having joint pain, inflammation. And again, we just thought it was, attributed to all the sports that she played. And it wasn't. I mean, it was, as I said, discovered in 2017 that she was actually, infected with a tick years earlier. And that's the thing about Lyme disease. Most people don't realize that they have Lyme disease until they've had it for quite some time. Because when you initially get bit by a tick, only 35% of those get what's called like a bullseye rash, where you can actually pinpoint where you've been bit. Many people just carry it with them, and maybe the symptoms don't present until much later. And initially, they present as flu-like symptoms, achy body, fever. So you don't automatically think, oh, it's Lyme disease. You just think, oh, I don't feel well.
I suppose that makes it even more dangerous when you're carrying it for so long and don't know it.
Exactly. And, like I said, left untreated, it impacts every part of your body. So not only the joint pain, inflammation, but she started losing weight. And Alex was about 5,622 pounds. And when she passed away, she was half of that. She weighed 57
Oh
pounds.
my.
That's what this disease can do to a body. It just overtakes it.
So she had had it too long for any kind of medication or anything to be able to help her.
Correct. So by the time, fast forward to 2017, when she'd been living with this for almost 10 years, they immediately put her on antibiotics and all these different treatments. But, Laura, we could just never get a leg up on it. I mean, I spent the entire year from 2017 until she passed in 2018 going to every facility that I could. A lot of times Lyme disease is not covered by insurance.
Oh,
So I
wow.
literally out of my own pocket,
Oh,
$100,000.
that's horrible.
And we as parents fix things, right? We're fixers for our children. When they're little, they get a scraped knee, bloody nose, a broken heart. We're there to fix things. So imagine as a parent, when your child has an illness or a disease, and you can't fix it. And that is where I really had to dive into my faith.
And that's a case with a lot of the listeners is, our children going through something that we just could not fix. Something that really stood out to me that I read from you is that you do not want to be known as the grief girl. And I mean, for as long as you were going through this horrible circumstance trying to figure out what is wrong with my daughter, can you share what you meant by that?
Yes. So when Alex passed, we have choices as a parent. And I love your whole title of the Grieving Parent Sharing Hope. And I sat there and I looked at it before I jumped on with you. And I said, well, that's GPS. That's navigation.
Yes,
Like,
yep, GPS
how do we
hope.
navigate in life when we're at those crossroads, right? Yes, GPS help. And I loved that. And at that was exactly in the moment after Alex passed, I had choices to make. I like the GPS, your navigation. You can choose to follow that GPS, or you can choose to go off on your own. And I chose to follow that GPS with God and say, all right, God, this is not the path that I wanted to take, but it's the path that you have given to me. So how am I going to show up for me? How am I going to show up for others? And as a parent, most importantly, how am I going to show up for my son? I still have another child to raise. I've got to be that role model for him. And so I made to not be defined by the grief and to really attach it to a purpose, and that purpose was to carry on what my daughter originally wanted to do, which was to start a nonprofit for Lyme disease. So, I mean, that all, it just didn't happen overnight. That was in that moment I didn't want to be defined. I didn't want people to pity me. I didn't want there to be so much darkness because we can really sit in that darkness,
Yes.
Laura.
Yeah,
You
we can get
know,
sucked
it's
under
so
by it.
easy
Yeah.
to throw the covers. Yes, it's so easy just to throw the covers over our head and say, I just don't want to deal with life. I can't get out of bed. And trust me, I had those days too, you know, where I succumbed to that. But I kept in my mind saying, I need to go to the light. I need to be the light. I need to use that moment to show others how we can step outside of that darkness and do something with what we've been given.
Yeah, so I mean, we are a victim of the circumstance that my child died. And I remember,
Yep.
that was my identity for a while. I mean, I even feeling like introducing myself, "Hi, I'm Laura, and my daughter died." I mean, you feel like that's who you are, but
Yes.
we can choose whether we want to stay in that victim mentality or if it's like I don't want to stay here, I can't stay here. So, how did you begin separating who you are from what you've been through without minimizing the loss?
You know, Laura, I want to mention something really quick before I answer that question
Go ahead.
about introducing yourself and, you know, being like, you know, in conversations, what do people ask? Oh, you know, what do you do? How many children do you have? And it was always so awkward and hard in the beginning where I was like, well, like I have a son, I had a daughter, she passed away. And then I saw the look on people's faces. And so I thought, how do I get beyond that? Right? Because then you feel bad. They feel like, oh my God, how terrible of me to ask. And I'm like, no, you're so innocent. I mean, that's what people do, right? That's conversation. So, you know, I had to at first address that so I didn't make people feel, you know, awkward and say that, you know, I do have a son and I was very, you know, blessed to have a daughter for 22 years. So trying to soften that conversational piece. But then also, like, how did I, you know, rise above from all of that? And at the time that Alex passed away, I was working for Catholic Charities. I was working for a nonprofit where really like putting my heart and soul into the work that I did there. And I've always been very project-based. So I thought, this is what I need to do with this situation that now I've been presented with losing a child. And because people just don't pass away from Lyme disease, Alex's story became national news. I had so many people reaching out to me, so many Lyme organizations, national Lyme organizations. I had TV interviews, radio interviews on all of this. And I, again, wanted to spin it from the grief girl to attaching something to purpose. And also at the same time, people started sending me money. They started saying, we feel terrible about what happened to your daughter. Here's money if you decide to, you know, start anything, do anything. And it was put on me by God to start the Alex Hudson Lyme Foundation and to pour this pain and this rawness and all these emotions that I felt into something purposeful. And so that's what I did. I started her foundation. And we, you know, support other Lyme patients that are going through treatments that need that financial assistance. Because, as I said earlier, a lot of Lyme disease and treatment is not covered by insurance. So for me, you know, I can't speak to others. Everybody has to process their grief differently. But for me, it really helped to have an action to put all that energy and the grief and the loss and the devastation into something. And so that's what I did.
Now, you talk about wanting others to see God deep in your soul. So
Yes.
how did your faith sustain you in those darkest moments? I mean, were there some times that were harder than others? How did you keep moving forward with the Lord?
Oh my gosh, Laura, yes. And I write about this in my book, My Promise to Alex. It's part Lyme disease, but it's also part my faith walk and Alex's faith walk. And I remember a specific part in December of 2017 before Alex passed in March of 2018. And by that time, Alex was very bedridden and she was in the master bedroom. And I was a single parent at that time. Alex's father was out of the picture. And I remember just feeling so heavy, so frustrated. This was months after going cross country, trying to find different facilities and treatments to heal Alex, and nothing was working. And I just felt her slipping further and further away from me. And so I told Alex that I was going to go to the grocery store and I would be right back. And I took off in my car and I just was driving and I pulled over into this vacant lot and I had this ultimatum, this conversation with God, just like pounding on the dashboard and crying and sobbing and saying, I'm done. Like, I have done everything that you have told me to do. I have, been a good servant. Alex has been a good servant. How can you keep continuing to put us through this pain? And listen, God, I'm giving you an ultimatum. You take Alex today, or you make her healthy, because this purgatory that we are in right now, I can't sustain this. And where are you? You're supposed to be in our lives. You're supposed to be this loving God. How can a God be loving when this is happening to us? I mean, I ripped into him and let him have it, right? I'm sure nobody, of course, has
Oh,
done that
I
before.
love that you're sharing this, just raw and honest. Yes.
Yeah, I was just like giving it to him. And then I took a deep breath and I went back home because in front of Alex, I needed to be strong, right?
Yes.
She couldn't see me breaking down like I did. So I went back home and I told Alex I was back home and I was dusting in our living room. And I looked out the window to this courtyard that we had in the backyard where we had a fountain. And I saw a bluebird there. And it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'd never seen that bluebird before. So I went into the bath, into the bedroom where Alex was. And I said, Alex, I go, have you ever seen this bluebird before? And, she was sick, but she still had that attitude with me. She's like, yeah, duh. That mother-daughter relationship. And I said, oh, so you've seen it before? She said, Mom, she said, I've seen it for the past month. And I said, wow. I go, so what, how does that make you feel when you see that? She goes, when I see that bluebird every day at 3 p.m., she said, it's a sign from God that he has not forgotten about me, and that it's another day for me to do something good with this life he has given me. And I just took a
Wow.
pause and I said, wow. And so then I walked out and I sat down and I said, God, I am so sorry. Here, you have been showing up for us. And how silly of me to say, where are you, God? You've been showing up for my daughter. And thank you so much. And I'm so sorry that I gave you that ultimatum, right? So, I think the whole point of me telling you this story is that when we are in those dark spots, God sends us signs, but we don't always see them.
Yes,
And it was through my
yes.
daughter that she shared that sign with me. And I really just sat with that for a while and put it all back into perspective.
And I think sometimes, after the death of our child, we can say, God, show me the signs that I missed. And
Yes.
he'll remind us of those things that he was with us through that time,
Yeah.
whether it was short or long and drawn out. I believe he will be faithful and say, yes, I was here then. This was me. This was me. This was me. And I'm still with you. This
And
is
you
me.
know
This
what?
is me.
Yes. And you have to continue to look for those signs after they've passed. And I can tell you, even when I sat down right now to turn on this, Zoom link, I looked outside and what do you think I saw? The bluebird. I mean, it's always showing up and always present with me. And another thing, after she passed, as I told you, I was a single parent. And when her father and I were looking at arrangements and the services and everything, we were splitting the cost 50-50, and my cost was $10,000. And I $10,000. I mean, I said, you know, here I just spent $1,000 on Alex's treatment. Where was I going to come up from that money? And after we met with the church, and I went home that night, and I was just like, oh, dear God, where am I going to come up with this money? Please help me. And the next morning, I got a call from somebody in the Lyme community saying that they had heard about Alex's story. They didn't know me, but they just wanted to help any way that they could. And she said that her parents were going to be sending me a check that day for $10,000 to help with whatever I needed. I mean, if that's not like a sign smack dab in my face. So again, it's just, you know, he's always with us. We just don't always, you know, see
Recognize it.
it and recognize it.
And
Yes.
I think some of the listeners could be thinking, wow, I never had anything happen like that for me, and I needed money for my child's funeral or whatever. But God meets with us in different ways. He's not
Yes.
going to meet with you the same way he meets with me.
No.
It's going to
Yeah.
look different. And if we're hanging on to the bitterness and the anger, we're going to miss those things. We're not going to see them because we don't want to see them. We want to stay angry at God. We want to have somebody to blame. And so I think that's one of the things we have to do is be willing to let go of the anger and just say, okay, God, I need you more than I need this anger. And I
Yes.
need to start seeing where you're with me and let
Yes.
Him begin to show you.
Yes. And I don't know, have you read the book Fervent Prayer?
No.
Oh, did I don't know if you've seen The War Room, that movie.
Yes.
Okay, so that's Priscilla.
Okay, yes.
Sure. Yes. And so I recently I'm in a couple of different Bible studies, but one of my Bible studies is on this fervent prayer. And it kind of talks about what you just said, like, you know, sitting in that anger and sitting in that resentment, because it's so easy to do, right? And you look at other people and it's like, gosh, you know, nothing happened to this family. Look at they, you know, haven't lost a, you know, a child, and you just start attacking
Yes.
things. It's really the devil wanting you to do that, right? I
Yes.
mean,
Yes.
not coming from God. So in this book, it really, you know, talks and speaks to just how you have to continue to, you know, pray to God, because all those other things are not coming from God. You know, let God fight those battles.
Oh,
And
that's good.
for me, you know, as I said, being a single mom, and Alex's father wasn't in that picture, you know, he didn't help with any of those costs when we were trying to
Okay, I'm just
find.
going to interject this. Just
Yes.
as somebody on the outside, that was my thought is why is he splitting the funeral costs when he didn't pay for anything else? That's just my
Right.
fleshly nature that
I
rises
know.
up in me.
Yes. And in this book, my promise to Alex, you know, I had to get her father to sign off on this, which he
Oh,
did.
sure.
And I had to, you know, obviously, you know, paint a better picture. But so many people said that to me after they read the book. They're like, where was Alex's dad in all of this? And I go, well, if I didn't write about it, you can probably imagine he wasn't present, right? But I have forgiven him. And in fact, just the other day, I was at a funeral for my sister-in-law's father who passed away. And Alex's dad was there with his new wife. And, you know, doing this fervent prayer book, it was really the first time I can say I was so at peace, because I wasn't fighting that negativity in those battles. I really had released it and surrendered it to God. And that's where, Laura, it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, Alex has gone 8 years now, but I think that's a really important part of this whole grief journey, is being able to surrender all that negativity and all those emotions. We grieve hard because we loved hard, but there's still so much more room for love, and we have to make sure that we're filling that up with love and good thoughts.
That's really good. I mean, we still need to have love in our hearts and continue growing that love, whatever that looks like. Let me ask you, a lot of bereavers, they have a fear that what we call moving forward with our lives means leaving your child behind. Now, that's impossible to do, but can you talk about that fear? You know, what ways do you still carry Alex with you as you live and walk forward? I mean, obviously there's this foundation that you have now, but you know, can you talk about that fear of, you know, we were just talking about love. It's not our pain that keeps us connected, it's our love for them, right?
Right. So that is a really good, topic to discuss because I think when it first happens, people around us are nervous. It's awkward. Do we speak the name? Do we not? Like, trying to dance around, how are we helping people through this grief journey?
Yeah, I know. It's like we find ourselves helping them. Isn't that funny? Yes,
Exactly.
it's exhausting.
Yes. And so I think it really, though, is up to us to help to bring people along in that grief journey and to speak their name and say, yes, please, I want to continue to, share those stories. And as you said with me, it's kind of easy for me to do that because I do have her foundation. I did write this book. Every May is Lyme Disease Awareness Month. So I still continue to do, TV, radio interviews, talking about that. She's ever so present. So I think it really is up to us to, let others know, please, continue to share those stories about my child. You know,
Yes.
it makes me happy. It doesn't make me sad.
I'm already sad.
Yeah,
You can't make it worse by talking about them. It makes it
exactly.
worse by not talking because then we feel like everyone else is forgetting them.
And this bluebird that I talked about earlier, when Alex was, passing away in her last couple of days, I said to her, Alex, I'm selfishly like going to need a sign, something from you. So when I'm missing you so terribly and I just feel like I'm not going to be able to get through the day, I need you to show up for me like God always showed up for us. And again, she's like, duh. She's like, Mom, the bluebird. Like, remember, she goes, so whenever you see a bluebird, that's going to be me. And it was so beautiful because after she passed, the bluebird was showing up like in my friends' yards. They would text call me and say, Jody, I've never seen a bluebird before, but Alex is out here just saying it's going to be okay. Like, so those are just beautiful signs and things to, keep your child's memory and their presence always with you. And so for me, it's, always just been the bluebird. And again, just, talking about her and doing things like every Christmas, we would make these Christmas cards and we'd have the cross on it and we would have these little Bible scriptures in them. And Alex and I would drive around in the neighborhood and in the surrounding area and we would look for homes that had a nativity scene in their front yard. And if they had a nativity scene, they would get one of Alex's Christmas cards. And I still do it to this day. So still continue on to do things that you enjoy to do with your child because they're still there with you. They're still helping you do that.
And a couple of things. One thing is, I didn't know what it was like to lose a child until I lost a child. That's impossible. It's
Correct.
impossible. And so instead of bristling when people don't get it,
Yeah.
we are the ones that have to educate them. You know,
Correct.
it's up to us to tell them what we need from them because I didn't know. I wouldn't know what a parent needed unless I was told. And so, you know, we have to get to the point where, like I said, we don't bristle because they don't get it, but we share with them because we had the same ignorance before we lost a child. And then the other thing is this whole thing with the bluebird, that is beautiful and precious. And I'll just put in my thought or whatever, and it may be just your wording of things, but to me, I don't see our loved ones actually coming back as that object or as that animal. I do believe that God allows them to send signs, or God will send something that will comfort us. You know, so when you say, well, Alex is here, it's more like her presence is here because
Correct.
she sent something, or God sent something that he knew would be a comfort to me.
Oh yeah, and that's what I meant. I mean, it's like any sign that, God sends us. And I know when I see this bluebird, it's just a sign from Alex. It's that comfort that she's like, Mom, you're, you know what? You've got this. You're gonna be Okay, so, oh,
Yeah. And
yeah.
I know there are people that do believe that. And I just, that's something that we as GPS Hope, that's something that we talk about. And I just want to make sure that was clarified because I was sure that's what you meant, that. So I just
Thank you
wanted to
for
get that.
clarifying that.
Yes, you're welcome. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Can you tell me, how do you hope that your story encourages other bereaved parents to trust God with both the pain and the future?
I'm on this podcast today. I'm talking about it. And I think that's what God calls us to do. As hard as it may be, I think that's how we grow in our faith walk, is by sharing these stories. You know, maybe people are listening to this and going, well, I'm not really good at talking, or that's just not for me. And that's okay. Maybe there's, a different way. But I believe it's that support, and
Yes.
it's showing others, I've gone through this. You can go through this, and you're going to get to the other side as well. So that really is, in fact, my significant other the other day, he asked me, he goes, what, why are you doing these podcasts? Like, what do you hope to get from it? And I said, you know what I hope to get from it is really, it's extending my ministry. It's really trying to help others, to let them know, because until you lose a child, you just don't understand
Exactly.
it, right? So I want to let those people know that might be stuck, that might not be sure where that GPS is, where they are going to be navigating to, what road they need to take. I've been with you in the trenches. I have been
Yes.
lost, right? But by God's direction and love and guidance, I am where I am today. So it's just never to give up. And it's hard, right? It is so darn hard. I always put this in the back of my mind. It's like every day when I wake up, like, how do I want to show up for God? How does He want me to show up for myself, for others, for my existing children? And then, it's really like putting on your coat of armor and going, all right, God, let's do this. Like, there's going to be great opportunities today to share my faith and to help others out. So put people in my life where I can do that. And just like with this podcast, Laura, I didn't know you until right now. God put us together for a reason.
Yes. I have really loved our talk. I've loved your just raw honesty with us. And I do want to give you a chance to talk about your book, My Promise to Alex, Through Pain Comes Purpose. So
Yes.
where can they get it? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So you can find it on Amazon, and it really was a divine intervention. I am a businesswoman. I normally don't write. Alex didn't have journals. This was very raw, and it just came to me that God wanted me to get this story out, because so many people, especially within that last year from 2017 when she was diagnosed until she passed in 2018, were trying to help me when I didn't even know how to help my daughter, right? There's just no quick fix with this disease. So I thought, I need to put this into writing, all the different places, all the different treatments, everything that we went through, so maybe it could help somebody else. But then also just that faith journey, how really it was Alex that even made my faith stronger by how present she was with her faith, and even in her, last moments. So you can get that on Amazon. It's also at Barnes and Noble bookstores. And then if anybody that is l listening to this that has any chronic illnesses that they can't figure out, any mysterious diseases that they can't figure out, they are welcome to check out our website, www.alexhudsonlymefoundation.org, and there's lots of good resources on there as well. So I just thank you so much, Laura, for the opportunity to be on your podcast, hopefully to be able to reach to someone today that needed to hear this message, and for you, for the ministry that you're doing, because I know it's not easy for you, losing a child and doing this, but God has definitely called this upon your heart. So thank you for sharing with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. This has just been, I just have really enjoyed this time together. I'm glad God brought us together, And I guess we'll part ways at this moment, but I'm sure we'll reconnect at some point. So thank you so much for being with us today and sharing what you have shared.
Thank you, Laura. I appreciate it.
I am praying that you enjoyed that as much as I did. Now, I have to talk about the bluebird thing. My dad's all-time favorite song was Somewhere Over the Rainbow. In fact, when we escorted his body out of hospice, they asked us what song we would like to have playing, and we requested Somewhere Over the Rainbow. In there, there's a line that says, "Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh, why can't I?" And the song ends by saying, "If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I?" When Becca, my daughter, died, it really took a toll on my dad. He felt like he had lived a long life and was ready to be done here, and it frustrated him that his granddaughter went when she did at the young age of 29, when she still had so much life to live. My dad went on to live 8 more years, and when I hit the 1-year mark of my dad being gone, I was sitting outside the Hope Mobile on our seasonal lot, just really missing him. And right then, a bluebird flew right past me, just a few feet away from me, right in front of my face. Now, I have never seen a bluebird there before, and I have never seen one since. I even looked it up, and they like to live in more open field areas. And we have wooded areas on 2 sides of us with no open fields nearby. I still shake my head in amazement 6 years later that God would do something so precious to bring me comfort. God really does want you to know that He is your source of refuge, your comfort, and your hope to having a life of meaning and purpose again. I pray that you will open your heart to allow Him to do that. Start looking for the things He's doing for you or sending your way. If He did it for me and He did it for Jody, He will do it for you. Be sure to check out Jody's website and her book. If you didn't catch the link when Jody shared it, you can just click on the link in the show notes. One of the hardest parts of losing a child is feeling like the world moves on while your heart is still trying to survive the loss. That's why I wrote Reflections of Hope, a daily reading for bereaved parents. This award-winning book offers short daily readings written from the perspective of someone who understands the deep pain of child loss. Each page offers gentle encouragement, honest reflections about grief, and reminders of God's presence even in the darkest moments. You can read it every day or just pick it up when you need a little extra strength and comfort for that day. If you're looking for something that understands this journey and speaks hope into it, you can find the award-winning book, Reflections of Hope, through the GPS Hope store, and I will put a link to that in the show notes as well. Let's go ahead with today's birthday segment. This is a time that I feel is very sacred, and I feel very honored to be able to share your children with the other listeners. Jeremiah Wofford was born on March 9th and is forever 44. Stephen Kowaleski was born on March 11th and is forever 28. Quentin T. Flowers was born on March 12th and is forever 54. Kristen Brown was born on March 12th and is forever 25. We celebrate the day these children came into the world and into our lives. I would love to be able to share your child with the listeners as well the week of his or her birthday. All you have to do is go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Just fill out the form, submit it, and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen, and the email will also give you a chance if you want to add your child to the following year. Feel free to do that. If you just want them on for 1 year, we take them off unless we get a request for the following year. Before I wrap things up, I want to let you know about a special resource that was created specifically to support parents who are grieving the loss of a child. It's a free guide called Rebuilding Your Life, a gentle guide toward hope and healing after child loss. This printable PDF guide offers compassionate encouragement for parents walking through deep grief. It talks about giving yourself grace as you grieve, releasing the pressure to move on, finding connection with other bereaved parents, and discovering meaningful ways to honor your child's memory. It also includes gentle steps to help you walk with God through the grief and begin moving toward hope and purpose again. If you would like to download this free guide, you can get it at gpshope.org/go/guide, or just click on the link in the show notes. Jody talked a couple of times about GPS Hope, GPS being something that navigates us. That's why we are here, not just to help you navigate through the suffocating darkness, but to be with you for the long haul, to navigate and be there for you and with you when you reach light again, helping you find meaning and purpose again, not in spite of your child's death, but because of his or her life. You can become a grieving parent sharing hope, whatever that looks like for you and God together. So remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.